Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast After Show, an after show where we spill the tea about things that we ran out of time for in the regular episode. This is the Patreon show. It's January. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Netta?
I'm fine.
You're still sick, huh?
I'm sick, but I do have a Bloody Mary with me, so this shall be fine.
That's what we call Slavic medicine.
Yes. I'm not sure if a Bloody Mary is Slavic, but I'm Slavic, and I have a cocktail. But this episode is not about me. It's mostly about your experiences. I'm just here to be your therapist.
Thank you. Yeah, you're about to witness. We're just going to record me debriefing Netta on a bunch of experiences that I haven't even told them about yet, like just as pals. So welcome to our world.
Welcome to a phone call that we're recording.
Basically.
Wait, tell the people what this is.
Oh, right. Okay. If you are here before you've heard our most recent episode, this might not make a ton of sense, but I was at the 2020 Toyota U.S. Figure Skating Championships in Greensboro, North Carolina. U.S. Figure Skating was kind enough to invite the Iced Tea Podcast to go, and I went as our representative along with my mother, who likes figure skating but doesn't know a ton about it and listens to our show like once a year. Yeah, so there are a handful of things that I wanted to talk about on the main episode, but we simply did not have time because we just had so many things and we want to make these manageable for y'all. So we both love ice dance, and this competition really made me a convert to the world of ice dance, but we just simply have not really talked about it on the main show. We don't really know. I mean, I'm not an expert. I don't really know how to comment on it other than to say that it makes me excited inside my heart and body.
So yeah, same. I think I've said before, ice dance was kind of my in into the world of figure skating, but that was 15 years ago, and I do not know how any of it works.
Well, and not only that, Netta, but something that's really unique about the U.S. Figure Skating Championships is that both of our OG original figure skating ice dance crushes, Ben Augusto and Charlie White, were both there, so
Again, have said this before, I used to feel really bad in like 2005 to 2007, 8-ish, when Denko Vastavisky were still competing, two-time world champions, Bulgarian legend, Tekken Stars. Well, problematic.
problematic faves.
Problematic faves. Well, oh, Ben is beautiful. Maxim is problematic and not a fave. But anyway, I used to feel very bad because I would watch figure skating and know I have to stand them because they're Bulgarian and they're winning. But I just had a huge crush on Ben Augusto because he had beautiful hair in 2006. I found his ponytail very cute. I was 12.
Listen, who among us?
Listen, we've all had our phases.
We have, but every time I saw Ben Augusto, I texted Netta a photo of him. Anyway, all this to say that we didn't get a chance to talk about ice dance, but ice dance fucks.
Correct. Ice dance fucks so hard.
I think, can I just say something controversial?
Yeah.
Because it's Patreon. I think that Pears makes sweet vanilla Christian marriage love and ice dance fucks.
Which is I agree, and it's surprising because Pears is so risky. You would imagine it'd be the other way around, because if I just describe the two disciplines to you, it's like Pears is a lot of like throwing people around. It's like life or death and very scary and like incredibly terrifying things. And then ice dance is just beautiful and, again, very challenging, but not as extreme, I would say. So you would imagine it would be the other way around, but it's not.
Well, I think, and I'm kind of stealing your, because we were talking about this off the air, so I'm going to kind of say things that you have said to me as though they were my ideas. So preface, these are mostly Netta's ideas that I'm regurgitating. Jesus. But I think if we're going to get into the theory of it, I think there's something extremely heteronormative and a little bit like tired about like a man who's twice the size of a woman throwing her around. Ice dance, because there's fewer throws and things like that, and the lifts are like a little less, you know, holding you up over my head with my arms straight. There's more room for different types of dynamics. And also, I would like to say that I think, to build off of this idea, I think that because you said that it's not what you would expect. I would like to go so far as to say that pairs is like when you know a couple that likes to talk all the time about like all of the weird sex they have, but it's like not that weird.
Yeah, she calls him daddy like every like 2 months and they're like, oh my God, we're so kinky. But they're like on FetLife looking for a third.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I love it when my husband Keith tops me. Like, no.
No, you're a straight woman, Brenda. This is missionary. Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas she read 50 Shades of Grey once.
Jesus. Yeah, welcome. Y'all have paid for this.
Y'all have paid for this, so we're just, like, going off the rails. Ice Dance is, like, a couple that you just wouldn't expect it of. It's always those. And then you accidentally, like, open the wrong drawer in their bathroom one time while you're visiting for dinner, and you find a whole bunch of stuff you were not expecting to find.
I have several questions about this premise. Why are you going through their drawer? First question. Second question, why do they keep their shit in the bathroom?
Okay, here are my answers. One, if you're a good person, you could be looking for a tampon or you want to refill the toilet paper roll and you're like, where do they keep their extra toilet paper? If you're a bad person, you're snooping. I'm sorry, but sometimes we all snoop. And why do they keep it in the bathroom? Maybe they live in a small apartment where there's not a lot of storage options in the bedroom and it like adjoins and, you know, I don't know their life. I did make them up. They are purely creatures of my imagination, but I don't know the entire storage organization situation of their fictional apartment.
My second follow-up question is, how do you imagine they're getting into it? And then one of them is like, hold on, babe, let me just go to the bathroom to pick up the scented lube and the handcuffs.
I think that, first of all, those are things that the pairs couples would own and think that that's, you know, that's what it is. So,
okay, fine. It's like something way more intense. I don't want to get into it.
It's something way more intense. Let's not get into it. But I think that they either think of it beforehand and they are prepared, or maybe they're getting into it in the bathroom. Why are we confining them to the bedroom when they're clearly freaks?
Bathroom sex is very dangerous most of the
time. Yeah, it's awful, but they're obviously way more coordinated than we are because they're ice dancers. So they're like all set. They've got the balance. They're ready to like be in bizarre positions. How on earth did we get this far off the rails?
I don't know, but I'm here for it.
Look, so Maddie and Evan obviously are... this is totally unrelated to the previous thing we were talking about, but I love Maddie and Evan, and I think they're neat.
Big same. You got to see the snake dance. How was that?
Oh my God.
Isn't it so fucking good?
I've never seen anybody as sparkly in my whole life as Maddie Chalk and her golden glittery dress, her snake dress.
That dress is so smart. Have you realized it's a snake tongue? The way it's split? The skirt is split. Like coattails,
oh my God,
or a snake's tongue.
I just assumed that it was like that so she could do the like the various like things that she does where she slithers around his body without getting caught under his skates.
Well, yeah, but it's
but it's functional,
like,
and
yeah, it tells a story.
It tells a story. Wow, kudos. Do we know who designed that dress?
Ah, no, I actually don't. Let me, while we're talking, I'm just gonna do some digging because I actually want to find out.
Their boots were made for walk-in exhibition. I've seen it 100 times because, you know, it's important to my heart, and seeing it live was something else because you really get the feeling like this is another way in which I think that ice dance is really interesting is that a lot of times, even though, okay, so it's based on ballroom dance, you know, theoretically in some way, it then would follow that like the man is leading and the woman is following. But a lot of the time you can actually see, or I could see in person in a way that I couldn't really tell from TV, was that the woman is doing a lot of the legwork, and it's more like she's pulling rather than being pushed around, but also kind of making it look like she's being pushed, which I just found so fascinating to watch.
It's feminism. I have found out who made this dress. It's
who is it?
Matthew. I'm not sure if it's Karen or Karan.
Oh, he does Virtue and Moira's costumes.
Yeah, yep. He does Virtue and Moira's costumes. He did Shoma's... one of his many, he did Shoma's
right.
Great Spirit, like the burgundy version.
Wait, I love that because he also, when he released his sketch for that, the guy that he drew it on looked extremely white.
Yeah.
And it made me laugh for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, correct.
It's Shoma's white Sona.
Yeah, but it's him. He's responsible for this dress. He's great.
Well, good job, Matthew.
I'll follow him right now.
Yeah, so Ice Dance was lit. I have to say, what else? I've seen Maddie and Zach. I've seen them live at Stars on Ice. They're lovely. For me personally, I prefer Maddie and Evan a little bit, But I think based on what, I don't know, just a feeling. I'm not an expert. Yeah, well, I think it's like they're also, I don't think I saw them at their best because it is my understanding that, and did I clock this real time? Absolutely not. But I found out later that they had at some point came out of some twizzles like backwards and did like half of their free dance totally backwards.
Oh, Jesus.
And they can't, I guess they gave an interview after where they're like, that's never happened to us before. And I guess they, whenever they try to talk like out loud to each other when they skate, they fall. So they couldn't talk. Yeah. And so they had to just sort of like telepathically communicate and get themselves back, turned back around. And they did. And I'm like, that's actually so badass.
That
like,
is oh my incredible. Gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that I didn't clock it, I was like, wow, damn. Imagine if they had done it the way they practiced. Would have been even better. But I don't know. I'm not a huge Star Is Born fan. We've talked about this. But I thought that their cut of the music is really interesting because it has like dialogue from the movie. I don't know. Yeah. It was cool. They looked great. They're very attractive.
A lot of spoken word in Ice Dance this year.
Controversially. And the other people that I really loved were Caitlin and Jean-Luc. They have a fun vibe. They're very like, their vibe is kind of goofy. Like, I feel like they have a sense of humor on the ice and they understand like this tongue-in-cheek drama-ness of it. And they can kind of switch in and out of like romantic sexual chemistry and also like a different vibe if they want to, which is also cool.
Yeah.
So I loved their free dance. It was so over the top dramatic with the, I mean, I can't even really describe what it was. It was like 14 genres mashed together. And then of course their gala skate with the swans.
The black swan, the swan.
I'm going to be honest. I hadn't actually seen it. Like I'd seen photos. I knew the concept, but I had never actually sat down and watched it all the way through. I was like fully screaming. I took a million pictures.
It's really good. They're
so freaking funny, those two. Like, oh my gosh. So I really liked them a lot. And when they're in like group numbers, like, because there's a lot of group numbers in galas and stuff, they also were able to fit into that more cookie cutter vibe of like sexy passion, like heterosexual romance, which I don't know. I was like impressed with that. I was like, oh damn, like they can totally just turn it on. And that's also like super cool.
Incredible.
Kudos to them. Yeah. I like their vibe a lot. What else happened at the gala that was cool? I'm so obsessed with Tomoki's exhibition. I like,
it's
can't
so
even talk
good.
About it.
Again, for the record, I'm going off of what I've seen at IDF because I have not seen the gala yet because it airs on Sunday. I have not seen it yet, obviously, so you're going to just have to paint me a word picture.
First of all, like, when you see it, you're going to hear me screaming so much louder than everyone else because I get the feeling that I was, I don't know why where all the weebs were in Greensboro, but I felt like I was one of the few people who got it. I was, like, losing my mind, screaming so loud. I, like, fully messaged him after. I was like, thank you for keeping the dream of Anime on Ice alive, Tomoki. You're doing the Lord's work.
Oh, we stand.
Something that I'm really fascinated by is, which I feel like we could do a whole nother bonus episode on if we, but maybe not right away because I think we've already, like, kind of spent all of our weeb points with our Yuri on Ice episode, but
yeah,
is like Anime on Ice and how there's a very specific movement style that's kind of evolved around just the figure skating programs we've seen of anime, like Keiji and Genya and now Tomoki, and I'm sure there's others, but it's like a very specific dance style that kind of is like a combination of like J-pop and like, I don't know, it's really interesting, but I feel like Tomoki really gets it. It's really flashy and like over the top. I don't know, it's hard to describe, but it's just a fun program. I was losing my absolute mind over it. It was so funny.
He's great.
What a doll. Who else? Amber. Oh my gosh. Amber does a Kelly Clarkson song and it is over the top.
Which Kelly Clarkson song?
Whole Lotta Woman.
All right. And the flannel?
She has the flannel on for a minute and then she takes it off and she has on a black, I think it's, if I remember correctly, it's like a crop top, but it's cut really, really, really high in the back. So it has like an open back and then she's got pants. She has a cowboy hat for a minute and she does every single cool move. She's got like cantilevers and she's got like, at the very end, she just drops like totally from standing into like a full split on the ice in like 1 second. Like there's no easing down into it. It's like, just let gravity do its thing. Like no problem. I was like, oh my God.
Falling into a split to the sound of a Kelly Clarkson song is like peak gay culture.
Right?
That's basically all. That's drag.
I loved it. And who else? Okay, so Brady did her Taylor Swift exhibition. I thought it was really cute. I thought it worked. Mm-hmm. She, like, had her elbow brace on. Aww. And she made it look like it was just part of the outfit. And my mom, like, totally thought it was. So I liked it. She starts in, like, a robe and glasses, and it's cute. I have a picture of her, like, aww, she starts it, like, texting on her phone. I don't know. I thought it was very sweet. That was very hype. Who else? Mariah's exhibition is, of course, very gorgeous. She does Stars Born in a full golden, like, angel dress.
It's a very beautiful dress. It's, again, fucking Stars Born, but, like, in a good way.
Yeah, who knew? Nathan did the same exhibition he did last year, the Next to Me one, which I've seen, like, 18 yeah, times, and I'm, same, like, still obsessed with. It's great. he added a backflip into it, which he didn't have last time I saw him, so that was new. And Jason did his Grease exhibition, which is so hype, and they did a thing with him, which I guess they've done in past exhibitions with him, where they give him, like, a bunch of silly dance moves to do that he incorporates in, and, like, he makes them look cool even though they're literally, like, stupid dinosaur cheesy, like, literally dinosaur arm dance moves. And somehow he makes them look, dare I say, hot. I'm fully floored by his abilities in that department.
I mean, you know I'm not about to stop you from saying Jason's hot.
No, I know, but I just, it's the enthusiasm and the, you know, extreme flexibility. Mm-hmm. Something about it. Well, before I get too carried away down this road, I do want to say something that really stood out to me is Alyssa Lou's gala skate is so funny. And I don't, like, I mean this with all the love in my heart. It's extremely, like, I'm 14 and I don't know how to dance and I'm at a bar mitzvah. Which is the cutest possible thing, and it is exactly what I want from, like, a 14-year-old two-time national champion, because for all that everybody's always like, why can't the Russian, like, 3A have age-appropriate gala skates? Like, Alyssa has one, and it is so funny. It's like,
what is it?
So she comes out in, like, black stretch pants and a pink sequin tank top. So it's exactly what you would wear to, like, a dance recital in eighth grade. Like, spot on school talent show. Me and my friends put together a cool dance. And then we got, like, sparkling tank tops, but everybody's in a different color because we have personalities. It's to, like, this electro swing. Again, very dance recital. I felt like I have been in this dance recital. And she just does a lot of, like, dance moves that, gosh, how do I describe this? They're the kind of dance moves that you do when you're, like, a kid and you're not old enough to do anything even remotely, like, sexually suggestive dance moves or sensual or anything like that. So they, like, border on cheesy or, like, very, like, early stage jazz dance classes.
Oh my god.
And it was just so freaking cute. Like, I, like, kind of died a little bit because it was awkward in, like, a really charming way that did feel age appropriate and then made me think, like, no one wants to be 14 ever again. Like, I really don't mean it as shade at all because I genuinely enjoyed myself, but I was like, this is what a 14-year-old age appropriate program is. It is very, like, this is an eighth grade dance recital. I kind of loved it. I kind of did. It was very specific. I don't know if I'm doing it justice, but God bless Alyssa Lou for keeping the dream of eighth grade alive.
That's very cute. I look forward to seeing that when they let us see this gala.
I know. I hope that you can find, like, a more eloquent way of describing it. I feel like I'm not doing a good job, but
no, I can imagine exactly what you mean. It's a very vivid picture.
And I think Ben Augusto and somebody else who I can't remember, I'm sorry, did the choreography for the group numbers. And the girls had a number that was cute that they did to X's and O's. Mm-hmm. And it was super cute because they did it with the senior ladies and then Alyssa and Lindsay. And they gave Alyssa and Lindsay that same kind of, like, middle school jazz dance choreography. And then the older girls did, like, more sexual stuff. But I just thought it was really nice that they let the young teenagers not be part of that. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I just sometimes.
Yeah, it could be weird.
Sometimes it could be weird and it doesn't need to be. And I thought it was really cute. They did a very good job.
It's good.
Yeah, so that's the gala. I'm trying to think. I mean, no one knew the finale choreography. It was so charming.
as it's supposed to be. I would be disappointed if someone did.
Yeah, like Mariah at some point end up. Because you know how in a lot of group dance numbers, like, it'll be like all the ice dancers will end up in this corner and all the singles skaters will end up in this corner. And Mariah ended up with the ice dancers somehow and was, like, laughing hysterically. And, like,
that's cute.
At one point, Maddie and Zach almost collided with, like, Tara and Danny, like, or somebody. It was insane. Oh, at one point, there was a four-person death spiral where these two dudes were, like, spinning these two women. And I did not clock who it was, but it was insane.
That sounds terrifying.
It was, like, I feel like I'm not describing it. It was literally, like, the two men were spooning and the women were, like, double-decker one on top of the other. It wasn't, like, side-by-side. It was, like, fully, like, enmeshed one couple spooning another couple four-way death spiral.
I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted because Jackie has started this course about cheering.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, but he's on the right side. It's just like he's retweeting people who are like, yeah, of course you gotta cheer. Like, duh.
Good. Well, I'm fully gonna weigh in on that because yes, I have opinions and this is a perfectly good time to say them. An ice skating competition is not a visit to the aquarium. You can't talk at full volume during somebody's skate, and you also should fucking cheer for them. And I heard a lot of people being like, oh, these woo girls. I'm fully a woo girl. I don't even give a shit. I'm sorry, oh, but yeah. If you think a performer doesn't want cheers, you have never performed a day in your life.
I was gonna say.
They say in every interview they feed off the audience energy. Every other skater is literally like in the middle of their choreo sequence doing like, come on, cheer for me arms. Mm-hmm. Like if they didn't want it, they're, you know, maybe, okay, yes, maybe this was the etiquette 25, 30 years ago, but these kids are not 25, 30. They're like 18 years old. They don't even know that and they don't care. Like they want your support.
Yeah, of course.
It's unfortunate to me that the people who can afford the front row seat are often older and are of this opinion that it's rude to support the skaters and the people who cheer the loudest are stuck in the back row, so the skaters aren't always getting, you know, it's literally like anything. Like if you've ever worked in fundraising or development in literally any field, you find yourself trying to balance the fact that the people in America or, you know, perhaps other countries too, but I can't speak to that, how the people with money are older and more old-fashioned, and the people who have a bigger voice, like in terms of like both on social media and like literally louder in person, are younger and can't give you the financial support but can give you sort of that grassroots. So it's really tough, and I certainly don't envy you as figure skating or anybody the task of trying to balance those two demographics, but it's very much present in the arena in a way that is very obvious to everybody.
No, it was the same at IDF as well. There was definitely the vibe that some people were there to be like at the opera and other people were there to be at a rock concert, and I feel like there is a middle ground. It's a bizarre take to think that people want to skate in complete silence. Like,
yeah, no kidding. It's like, yeah, it's very bizarre to me. And I think that where it does become an issue is like if you're distracting them while they're skating or like right before they're skating or something like that in the moment, like, okay, we've all settled down for silence, and then someone's like, oh no, you know, like that's like, okay, let them settle. But when everyone else is cheering, like, that's when you're supposed to cheer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was ridiculous.
Also, like, obviously, time and place. Like, you gotta use your judgment. You don't want to be, you know, hollering during, like, Schindler's List. But there's still a way to engage and support. Like, not every program calls for, like, yes, queen, but still.
Yeah, of course. And I think, here's what I will say. There is another side to this that sort of got on my nerves a little bit. Which is that, and this is not the same as cheering, it's sort of like this weird entitlement to a skater's attention, which kind of upset me a little bit to see. Like during the ladies' medal ceremony afterwards, Mariah was like kind of making the rounds and then going back and forth, and she was obviously like very overwhelmed and experiencing a lot of emotions, and there was like this group of people that were like, Mariah! Mariah, come here, Mariah! Come on! Like they were so whiny and like so naggy at her, and she clearly didn't want to go over there and was being so sweet and polite, but it was like, you're not entitled to somebody coming over and talking to you. Like the tone of voice was so ugly, and like also, even we were seated behind the men's podium, and well, we were seated behind all the podiums, but during the men's ceremony, there was a group of people who were in our section who kept screaming at the boys to turn around while like during their official photo session while they were on the podium. And I screamed back. I was like,
that's
they can't.
Not how it works.
I was like, they can't. They're in the middle of a photo session. Like I yelled it back to them because I'm like, they're not ignoring you. There is a very specific protocol. They do this the same way at every competition. These are official press people that they need to like pose the same way for. They can't turn around and wave at you right now. They will come around and do a victory lap in a minute. Like chill out.
That just reminds me of like stage dooring a Broadway show in a very stressful way. This balance of like, oh, of course you want to tell this performer that you appreciate them, but you also really don't want to deal with a group of 15-year-olds who think that because this person once liked one of their tweets, they're best friends, you know?
Yeah. And I think we have a weird perspective on it too, because I think that we, having worked in like the entertainment industry and like even just having this podcast, are like a little bit more in touch with what it's like to know people personally who are like, you know, hashtag hot shit. And realize that they're people and they and kind of know how they want to be treated. But like, I don't know. It's just, it's tough. It's it. But I think that not cheering for people who are performing their hearts out is never the answer.
Yeah, I think there is a, like I said, there is a time and place and there is like a manner of cheering. But I don't think anyone who's ever performed anything would say, oh yeah, I just want to go out there and do my thing and like leave in silence.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like even if it's, I don't know, if you're singing like a heartbreaking aria and it's obviously not the time and place for, you know, getting handed dollar bills because you've performed Queen, there's still a way to cheer for a person. It's just, people gotta use their brains in conclusion.
Yeah.
Just be smart and support people. It's not a hard concept.
Anyway, moving on. Here's some other things that are random thoughts and feelings that I would like to address. Greensboro, North Carolina has, I think a lot of cities have like their thing where it's like they have weird statues of things because of whatever thing about the town or this. Like, for example, like I live in Rhode Island. Rhode Island's thing is Mr. Potato Heads because this is where the Hasbro company is. And every like landmark place, we have a Mr. Potato Head that's dressed as like a specific type of thing. For example, in our Little Italy district, Federal Hill, we have a Mr. Potato Head that's in a white tank top and a chain, and it's a little questionable, but that's where we're at. So I'm not making this
that
up.
Is
I wish
so
I was.
So bizarre.
It's so weird. But anyway, so I think a lot of places have this. Greensboro's thing is it's Jeansboro, and there are statues of pairs of jeans everywhere.
Just statues of jeans?
Just statues of jeans, and they're all decorated differently, I think, based on where it is. But there was one on the airport. I kept seeing them on the street. And I think it's because they had, like, a really rich history of being involved in the denim industry, and also because it rhymes, was my takeaway.
That's so funny.
All I have to say about Greensboro is, shawty got jeans, 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 jeans. And at one point, DJ Romeo from US Figure Skating played Get Low at, wait, no, that's not what it's called, right? Is that what it's called?
Is
no, that's
it
a different
not?
Song.
I think it is.
Shawty got. I don't know, apple bottom jeans, that song. Yeah, this is humiliating.
Boots
nobody
with
ever,
the furs.
Boots with the furs. Nobody has ever wanted to hear me sing this, and yet here we are.
Please, you're a musician. You're a professional musician.
Yeah, but I still really, really doubt that anybody in history has ever been like, what a beautiful soprano. You know what we would love to hear her sing?
Apple bottom jeans.
Baggy sweatpants and the Reeboks
boots
with
the
straps.
The fur.
God. Anyway.
Can we talk about how all of this fashion has returned?
I'm not ready for it because it's bringing me back to middle school in a way that, as I sort of talked about with Alyssa Liu, I don't ever want to be there.
Well, bad news. Fashion is cyclical.
It feels like the cycle is getting shorter. Is that like something that happens with age, or do I just have no concept of time?
I feel like it's the same, but we're just old enough to like clock it now.
Yikes. Well, I, for one, will be wearing leggings as pants as long as I am legally allowed to.
Beautiful. Good for you.
So, anyway, I just wanted to shout out Jeansboro for being jeans.
For being jeans.
For being jeans.
It's so funny to me. It's like what? It's like the peak of humor to me is being jeans.
Don't talk to me. I'm being jeans. Okay, so what else happened? I met Jackie Wong. He was super nice. Oh my god, he was super nice. We're like roughly the same height, which was surprising to me. I don't think I knew how tall I thought Jackie was, but we are roughly the same height. That's a fun fact.
For everyone who's met you or him.
Yeah, for everyone who's met me, that's very useful. We were both wearing our sweatshirts and it was funny. We were like merch royalty. Yeah, super nice. I don't know. I just sort of went up to him and I was like, it's me. And he was like, oh, and then we hugged and it was great.
That's so cute.
It was a meeting of the people whose podcasts start with the word ice, as figure skating podcasts are wont to do. I also met Alexei Krasnyzhan, but we talked about that. I don't know if there's anything else to say.
He was beautiful.
He was beautiful. Chicken tenders happened so much too much? Question mark. Maybe. But they were good. And something happened at the chicken tender stand that I cannot stop thinking about, which is...
Oh, God. What happened?
At one point, I can't remember when it was, but I feel like it was maybe between the men's medal ceremony and the gala, where, like, there was this massive rush of people who were staying in the stadium but, like, needed to kill some time, were all mobbing this one chicken tender station. And...
Oh, Jesus.
The line... I had been, you know, interfacing with these same chicken finger employees all weekend. They basically knew who I was. I think it was like, they were just so wonderful. The whole staff of the Coliseum was really knowledgeable and fantastic and great. And especially the people who were dealing with these really stressful food service situations, I thought were doing a fantastic job. Were really, really, really fast in terms of like how fast they got the food out. So I was really impressed. At this one particular instance, the lines were longer than they had been, and this one guy was shouting, and he was like, "Are there three lines or four? Are there three lines or four?" And the guy at the chicken finger thing was like, "There's supposed to be three, but there's four, and I think that's okay. We're gonna make it happen." And the guy was like panicking and yelling, and he goes, "Sir, everything's gonna turn out okay. That's what I think."
I just want to be as chill as a person whose job is to sell chicken fingers and reassure people that everything's going to turn out okay.
I was like, I almost started applauding. I was like, there is this, it was so shady, but so also calm and kind that it wasn't even, like, there is no better way to shut down a rude, impatient customer than to be like, "I think everything's going to turn out okay." Like, it's fucking chicken fingers. Like,
yeah, there's not a lot of ways to get that wrong.
It was outrageous. But anyway, so that happened. I was proud of that man.
I hope he's doing okay.
I'm sure he's doing great because, like,
everything turned out okay.
Everything turned okay. And he can keep his cool in any situation. So I'm sure his life is great. There was something called the fan zone, which I did not at all interact with. But I have a piece of paper that describes what it is, and I want to just talk through this with you.
Please.
Okay, so there was this thing called FanFest, which was like this whole section of the lobby that, again, I didn't really ever go into, but it was like family fun stuff. And from what I can tell, here's what was there. Yes. Like, a lot of local musicians. Oh, Elsa and Anna were there. What? From Frozen. Elsa and Anna were there all weekend. They came from Fantasy Scandinavia to Greensboro, were there all weekend. They had meet and greets. At one point, they painted faces.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Face painting.
Yeah, like multi-talented royalty autographs.
No choice but to stand.
There was something called Rollin' Games. Don't know what that is, but games with a Z, though.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's fancy.
Yeah, so you know that's legit. Yeah. I think that the FanFest had its own little tiny rink, which is very cool. So there was a lot of skating demonstrations. I don't know what that is, but... Oh, what is this? This is something, and I'm going to read this to you verbatim. Illusions and Confusions face painting and balloon twisting.
That sounds like a drag show.
Illusions and Confusions face painting. Is that two different things or one thing?
I would hope it's separate things. I hope you go and either get like someone doing tricks at you or you get very confused somehow.
I feel like it's one thing and they paint your face to look like something else and it's an illusion and a confusion. There was... also, Magic with Paul Spring. Don't know who that is, but... Oh, Paul Wiley did Skating 101. I should have gone to that. My mom is, like, so thirsty for Paul Wiley, y'all. He was there for 1 second, and she went fucking buck wild.
That's so cute.
1992, man. It was an important year. Okay, so at the bottom, there's a key for what these things are. Athlete Zone, Auto Zone, BB&T. What is that? Never explained. Get some last-minute cash and watch the Ice Network feed of the championships in the business screen. What does BB&T stand for? No idea. Cone Health.
What?
I don't know what that is. I thought maybe it was like how to keep your ice cream cone fit and keeping it tight, but no, I think it's maybe the name of a company.
That's incredible. Yo, this is so American. Idea of just had skating and sandwiches.
There's something called Inflatable Zone.
That's someone's kink.
I was like, how do you make a zone inflatable? But I think it's maybe the Inflatable Zone. If you are a kid or a kid at heart, enjoy the bouncy house and the pirate ship slide.
Oh my God, I would love someone to let me into a bouncy house. I used to be terrified of those things, but right now, It sounds so exciting, but I am technically an adult, so I don't think that's
allowed. No, but if you're a kid at heart, you can go. They specified that just for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I would be so excited if someone particularly was like, hey, Netta, this is fine. You can go in.
How do you think they determine whether you're a kid at heart? Do you think the good people from Cone Health give you like some sort of EKG to determine whether you have the heart of a child?
An EKG for the heart of a child. That's the title of this episode.
Your heart, I have some awful news. Your heart is in fact stunted. It hasn't grown since 1998. The one good piece of news I can give you is you can now descend the pirate ship slide.
You know what? I'll take it. That's a fair trade, and I will accept it.
Listen, every cloud has a silver lining. Oh, man. What
How
else
did
happened?
We end up here?
I don't remember. I never do. Oh, I went to a cat cafe.
How was that?
Okay, so first of all, shout out to the good folks at the Crooked Tails Cat Cafe. If you find yourself in Greensboro, they were really nice. So I went to this cafe. There were 11 cats. I think I saw most of them. So awesome. Here was my experience. First of all, okay, all the cats except for one, I think, were up for adoption. The one that wasn't belonged to the owner and just hung out there. I think we were the only people who were just there to hang out with the cats. There were like a bunch of other people who seemed to be like on the hunt for an adoption cat situation. And there was this one couple there that were so like brutal in their vocal loud assessments of the cats. I was like, this is awful. They were like, they would see a cat and just immediately be like, don't like that one. Ugly markings. I was like, holy shit.
No, you don't do that to the kittens. That's
holy upsetting. Shit. Wait until driveway rule. Wait until you're out of the cat cafe to fucking assess the cats based on appearance alone.
Yeah. We have no confirmation that the cats can't understand you.
It's true. We have no idea. Comedy queen Mary Beth, my good mother, was like, can you imagine if you just went into a bar and said that out loud about everybody you saw? Like, nah, not for me.
I mean, I can. I can. I don't like to, but I can. It's not a good idea, I don't think.
We met some wonderful cats, though. They were so sweet and so kind. And one of them was my absolute favorite. Did not fucking want to be in the cat cafe. Was trying to escape. Was not here for any of the petting. Wanted to just sit and look at everybody disdainfully. And I'm like, that is the Same. One for me. And if I was a Greensboro local, I would take that cat home today. I love a mean cat. Not that she was mean. Like, I want her to get adopted. But she was just not like, you know, she wasn't trying to cozy up to anybody. She wasn't trying to like grease any palms to get adopted. She was her authentic self. And I respect that.
I stand that so hard. I have a theoretical question.
Yeah.
Imagine you decide to open up a cat cafe and you find a bunch of cats in need who need to be somewhere, and you put them in a cafe and you spend some time with them and it's all great. What happens if your cat cafe is incredibly successful and all of the cats in your cat cafe get adopted?
Oh, like supply and demand crisis, huh?
Yeah, do you just own a cafe now? A catless cafe?
Yeah, I guess there's always the coffee aspect.
Yeah, you just have a coffee shop. There is no cats.
Like a sign out front that just is like, sorry, all out of cats.
Out of cats, but the oat milk is very good. Come and have a matcha latte.
Oh my god. Well, I guess the owner's cat does live there, so I guess it could just be like a
one cat cafe.
Cat singular, one cat cafe.
Actually, isn't that just like a bodega at that point?
Oh my god. Wow. Your mind. I think
our bodegas by definition a cat cafe.
Holy shit. Yeah, right?
There's a cat, you can buy coffee.
You can get coffee and there is a cat. A bodega is a cat cafe. And I wonder how many cats you need in any given establishment to make it a cat cafe. Because what if it's a cafe and also like there's a kind of a bodega cat situation where there's just a cat that hangs out there? How many cats need to be there for it to be a cat cafe?
Is a cat cafe just a matter of marketing?
What if you could, okay, here's my question. Now that we have animal cafes as a precedent, could you then spin like a poor health code into like, oh, it's not a restaurant, it's a roach cafe. Come pet the rats in this 5-star rat cafe bistro.
You know me?
You know me, you know I would go to a rat cafe.
Is this our next business venture? Like,
oh my God.
Are we going to start a rat cafe?
Guys, thank you so much for supporting the Patreon. We are using the funds to fund our rat cafe.
It's a beautiful nest egg for the rat cafe. Speaking of animals in places that should they be there, I need to talk about Benny the ice skating dog.
Yes, talk to me. I've only seen very little of this dog.
Okay, so here's the thing with Benny the ice skating dog. His full name is Vegas Benny, which is important somehow. I am here to be a little bit of a skeptic, a little bit of a hater. And I think I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I don't think Benny the ice skating dog is that good at ice skating.
I mean, they are a dog.
That's true.
What do you expect of an ice skating dog?
Here's what I expect. Do you want them skating dog to be better at ice skating than other dogs are? And I will be the first to admit I have not spent a lot of time with dogs in my life, even off the ice. Okay, so first of all, here's the thing with Vegas Benny. He had already been ice skating all weekend when I saw him come out at the gala. He could have been tired. Lord knows all the skaters were. So Benny wears ice skates on his front paws. I think if he had all four on, it would have been an absolute fucking disaster. So he has his ice skates on his front paws. It's not really clear to me whether he was just sort of walking or whether there was gliding involved. He fell a few times, which was really sad. I'm going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt here and assume that the reason that Benny is the ice skating dog and this is his brand and his identity and his career is because he loves it. I think people love their dogs. Like 99% of people who have dogs would fucking die for the dogs. And I just feel like nobody would make a dog ice skate if the dog didn't genuinely want to ice skate. So I think that maybe his passion for it is what keeps him on the ice, coming back competition after competition. But we are proud of him. I was unimpressed a little bit. I was just like really getting the feeling that he would have been better on the ice without the ice skates.
Aww. Well, here's the thing. An ice skating dog is a lot like modern art. It's not that other people can't do it. It's just that someone thought of it and did it.
Wow. I can't believe that you just fucking took Benny the ice skating dog and took it to like a Mondrian Rothko place.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's not that someone else can't Jackson Pollock it, it's that Jackson Pollock did it.
Yeah, wow.
And all likewise, right. If someone puts skates on their dog and advertise it as a skating dog, now that is a skating dog. And other dogs that may or may not be better skaters are just not that. They're just at the museum being like, I could have done that, but you did not, Rex.
Here's what I wonder. Does dog figure skating have like a dog figure skating Twitter and like a Reddit/r/dog figure skating where like Benny is being canceled for things that we don't know about, where Benny is being critiqued, where people are like, Benny shouldn't be on the ice. He should be retiring. And no, Benny never retire.
You know, you're doing this very funny bit. And I'm here with you in this bit, playing with you in this space. But I do follow, for some reason, several people on the internet who are very much into dog agility courses. And I'm here to tell you that those people do exist. It might not be on ice, but people do get fired up over which dog is doing what tricks. And I'm pretty sure that if that exists, you could for sure do that on ice as well.
I don't know how to follow up on that. My mind has been blown.
Yeah, there's drama in dog agility course pageant world. So I'm assuming those same people would be just as fired up if all of the dogs wore tiny skates on their front legs.
I don't even know, but all I can think of now is there being like a dog ISU that sits around and thinks about the rules.
I want to be in the dog ISU. I'm terrified of dogs, but I would love to be in a dog ISU.
I'm like getting stuck in a dog discourse now. I don't even like dogs. Is there anything else I wanted to say? Werther's Originals had a much larger role and presence in this competition than I was anticipating.
Well, they were sponsors, like official sponsors of this event.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. If you had asked me how much of this event is going to center around the candy Werther's Originals, I would have said zero. 0% of this event.
Well, surprise, bitch.
Yeah, surprise. Every single time we left the concourse and to go to the like lift pickup area, there were like multiple employees of the rink handing us full ass bags of Werther's Originals, to the point where like, if you go, I mean, we only went to like half the competitions. I can only imagine how many goddamn Werther's you would have by the end of this competition if you had gone to every event. Werther's must really be rolling in the dough to be able to hand out that many free caramels.
I wonder how it works if you're the sponsor but also handing out free caramels. Having said that, I would never say no to a free caramel.
I'm not a big caramel person, but my mom was like living her goddamn best life.
I love caramel. I kind of resent the fact that popular culture has turned Werther's into like candy for old people because they slap.
Yeah, I do like to make fun of my friend Mike because every single time we go to the movies, he brings like sugar-free Werther's.
That's a very choice snack.
Yeah, something about it is, it is a little old, but you know what? A lot of the audience at the skating competition was also kind of old, so
I don't know how I feel about it as a theater snack, but I'm just here for it as like a feel-good thing you do for yourself in your free time.
Are Werther's self-care?
They are.
So where's our money, Werther's? Where are our free Werther's for our listeners? Come on, you've clearly got them.
Yeah, please support this podcast.
Actually, I might still have some because I ended up with so many. So if you want to, if you want me to mail you special U.S. figure skating Werther's.
I mean, I could just buy Werther's here. We do have them in Bulgaria, but it's not the same.
Yeah, they didn't breed, those Werther's didn't breed the same air as Mariah Bell. So you're paying for that. You're paying for that special touch.
Do you think you could resell them on, like, eBay and be like, those are US Nats 2020 Werther's. They're $500 each.
I could do that if Yuzu had been there. Guaranteed. Oh,
fuck me. Yeah, you could. Well, this is the plan for next year when we do Worlds or something.
If I ever get in the same building as Yuzuru Hanyu, I will sell every single thing on my person afterwards.
I will shave the rest of my hair and sell that. Full Yuzuru Hanyu.
Adjacent wig. There you go.
Wig. Is this episode done?
I think this episode's done. I think this is, I've sort of plumbed the depths of my experience. If I remember anything else, I will certainly let you guys know, but it was one of the craziest weekends of my life, and all I did was sit there and watch and scream. I don't know how these athletes do it. It was fucking crazy.
I'm so happy you got to experience that. I'm also very thankful for US Figure Skating for inviting us. That was pretty freaking cool.
It really was. And I think that it's like really dope that they reached out to podcasters and like hashtag influencers. And I hope they continue to do that. I think that's like a really smart way to incorporate different voices and shit.
Absolutely agree.
And next time, Netta will be there with me and it will be better.
Yes, it's going to be gorgeous. Also, guys, we are recording this episode on our very first birthday. This is, we had our first episode come out exactly a year ago. And as the poet once said, started from the bottom, now we're here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we did. Is there, what do you, after having a year of doing this podcast, what do you look back and reflect on? What do you think about?
I think about how we started with this idea and we didn't know where it was going to take us. And it took us all the way to nationals. I also think about how I didn't know going into it. I don't think I knew what my thesis statement was with it. It was just, well, I like skating, you like skating, we're kind of funny, let's talk about it. And now I feel like we have a lot more of a idea of where we belong in this community and what our purpose can be. Now, I'm not saying that we can fix everything with a rodent cafe, but I feel like we have found a niche, a beach, if you will, which needed us. And we're out here. And it's all because of you guys and your cold hard cash and your support. Yeah, I feel like it's just about finding the reason why this keeps working.
Totally. I completely agree with you. I don't listen back to the early episodes because I don't really listen back to the episodes at all after I edit them. And also, the early ones make me sad because I sounded like I was yelling into a tin can. So, like, shout out to growth, shout out to audio learning. I agree with you. I think we, like, kind of, the longer we spent in the community, the longer we sort of found, like, this is what is needed and this is what is not needed. I don't have regrets. But I do think that, like, the more I've learned about, like, oh, people actually listen to this, the more I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have been so mean in the first couple episodes.
No, I stand by everything I've ever said. No, jokes aside, I think we've learned what is needed and what voices need to be heard and what voices need to be uplifted way more than we knew going in. Figure skating was, for a very long time, a solitary act for me. It was just kind of this thing I would be into by myself, and I would, like, drag my friends to a rink, like, once every winter break, just because, you know, that's what you do over Christmas. And now it's such an integral part of my art making, and also of how I introduce myself to people, and how people that I work with and have known in the past year know me. And that's personal growth. It's no longer a thing I have to be chill about once a year. Now I get to be very excited all the time.
Yeah, we've met so many rad people. And I think too, like, this is the first thing I've ever done where I didn't research the ever-loving life out of it beforehand. I had listened to some podcasts, but I wasn't, like, a podcast nerd. Like, I think you knew a lot more about podcasts than I did. Like, I had, like, a strong background in, like, audio editing and stuff, but more for, like, theater and music. And so, like, I had the skills to do it, but I didn't really know a ton about this specific medium. And I think that actually helped me a lot, because I think the less you overthink some, like, I think it's like that magical balance of, like, knowing what your niche is and knowing what you want to do and knowing why this hook is, like, workable, but also not overthinking it too much, because I genuinely don't think that we would have gotten even as far as we've gotten if I had overthought it too much before we just jumped into it. So
yeah, I honestly, doing a podcast was a long time coming for me, because I love this medium. And I think everything we've said about our particular thing can be also said about any other podcast or piece of audio media. I think the return to audio in the past, like, 5 or 10 years has been so exciting as a whole. Because, you know, we did go through a phase where video killed the radio star, etc. And I feel like people are returning to just listening to things in their ears. And that's very exciting. But that's a conversation for another day and for another podcast. But yeah, long time coming. Didn't expect it to be this. Very grateful that it is this. This is cheesy. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, I love it. It's like, be open to weird stuff. Because, like, in my mind, I, like, didn't even really know what podcasting was until a few years ago. And, like, I feel like it's fit so well with all sorts of things I've always wanted to do but mm-hmm. never knew I could do all at the same time. So be open-minded to, like, things that you didn't know about or didn't expect or didn't envision yourself doing, because they might actually fit you better than anything else you could have, like, thought up yourself.
Agreed. Well, this has been beautiful. Uplifting.
Yeah, we ended on such a cute note. We could have ended with Rat Cafe.
I wanted, in my heart of hearts, I'm ending with the Rat Cafe. Very grateful for this and for an audience that will let me talk about rats for 5 minutes. Thank you.
Maybe Rat Cafe is the real business venture that fits what I want to do the most. Like, maybe podcasting isn't the zenith of what I'm capable of.
Yeah, let's end this recording and go make a business plan about the rats.
Let's do it. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening and for your continued support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It is the least we can do for your generosity. The Patreon funds did go in large part towards, you know, things in Greensboro, such as plushies. And so you literally made Plushie Corner happen. We did it, folks. I can't stop crying. Is it kids? It's kids. Should I misquoted Lady Gaga?
How dare you? This is the end of the episode. I'm just gonna let it feed at.
It's too bad. It's too bad that we are in a medium where you can't go back and fix things and, like, cut things out. Like, that would be so useful.